What a blessing it is to be able to share God's word today. He is worthy to be praised. Let's open up with prayer. Father, strengthen us today, Lord. Show us your glory today, Father. Help us to be unified around your word, Lord, as we seek to grow stronger in you, Father. We love you today, Lord. Oh, how we love you today, Father. We pray that your Holy Spirit moves through the scriptures today, through every verse, through every word, through every letter in each word, Father, that we can understand you more today and realize that you're the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before you, despised the shame, was nailed to a cross, died, buried, and because of your resurrection, we have new life, Father. We want to proclaim that every week, Lord. We just don't do it on Easter Sunday. We do it every week. And I just give you the glory, Father. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, how I love you today, Lord. I hope there's a group of people in here that feels the same way, Father, as we seek to worship you together, grow closer to you together, be united, like-minded with the same love, same spirit, same word, Father. Help us to shine like bright stars in the universe, Father, as we hold fast to your word in this generation that seems to be darkened, Father. But when we have you, we have hope. When we have you, we will proclaim your name from the mountains, Father, on how beautiful you are, how beautiful those feet that share the gospel, Father, just like Bill prayed this morning. We get to share and we get to live out our faith with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much. Exciting to be here. Friday night was unbelievable. Secret Church, 6 hours talking about the word. Thank you, Joe Jordan, is just walking in here today to making that happen for us. There was 50-some thousand people around the United States gathered in churches to proclaim the name, hear David Platt speak. My wife, who's at home sick today, that's why I'm going to read this, because she's not here. She wrote me a little note, and I don't know how I found it. It was either in my Bible or whatever before I left Friday night, but this is how she left a note for a couple that's getting closer to 41st anniversary, not that old yet. But be careful driving home tonight. I hope and pray that you will come home early. Don't be speeding. Call me on your way home. Love you, with an exclamation point down at the bottom. No sweets, they make you sleepy. That's the note. That's my doll. I love that girl. Very blessed, man. Do you delight over this book, man? Because I do. Do you dig in it and read it and get excited about it and gather in groups together and pray together and seek Him as you learn this word and let it just fill your heart up and fill your mind up, because there's just so much glory and hope and praise and love in this book and forgiveness. In your listening, God, the first statement I put is our past can make us think that there's no way that the Lord could still desire us, much less still use us. Though we might believe that God can forgive us, and I'm sure everybody would hear to raise their hand and say, yeah, I know God can forgive you. But we assume that our lives will forever be marked by our past failures. Anybody ever made any mistakes in their life? Anybody have any failures in their life? Well, I'm at the top of the list. But the story of Peter, which I want to get into today, shows us that God not only forgives us, but He also restores our failings. And regardless of what we have done in our life, there's always hope. That's what this series is all about. It's all about hope. And it really started back, I guess it was in November or December. We're in a staff meeting in the conference room. And I says, what does people need here? And Melissa Leveling just looked at us and said, hope. People need hope in this generation, and that's what this is all about. But I want to tell the story about Peter's denial, how he failed Jesus. And I'm in Luke 22, 54 through 62. but I want you to pay particular attention to when I get to verse 61 and how Jesus was looking at Peter. And it says in the verses, then they seized him and led him away, talking about Jesus, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looked closely at him, said, this man was also with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And he said, you are also one of them. He said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man was also with him, for he too is a Galilean, the scriptures say. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, it said, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine what that was like? And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And I just wanted to, Donna, to show you a little clip from the Passion of Christ today. Maybe you can get an idea of what it was like when all this went down.
Tamma, Adoni, al beta siurin, a falmot.
Amina mer analak. Tipitram tangela krat in yunuth. Tekakathani thilothuth.
Just wanted to get a look at to see what was going on, all the confusion, all the pain, all the things going on. But when the Lord looked straight at Peter, he was in that enclosed courtyard, as you saw, and perhaps Jesus was taken from the trial by Caiaphas and to the Sanhedrin when Jesus is caught Peter's eye. And certainly at that point, and you think about it, what was Peter wondering? Was he wondering, was there any hope for him? How did this happen? How can I be restored? Is there any hope for me? And if you rewind the story a little bit and you saw it in a clip there, you'll find a confident Peter. When you look back in the same chapter in Luke 22, earlier in the scriptures, it said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I pray for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." And maybe I'm supposed to ask you today, is there some turning you need to do in your life? Maybe turning back to Him. Maybe you've strayed from Him. But He says, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And Peter said to Him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, that the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me." And when it says in those verses that Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, I put in your listening, God, I believe Satan wanted to test the disciples, hoping to bring them to spiritual ruin. Is there anybody here today to feel like they've been tested lately? That you feel like Satan is after you and he's trying to cause you to do something to that you would be spiritually ruined? But Jesus indeed insisted that Peter would indeed deny him three times, and that Peter had the audacity to disagree with Jesus just as emphatically that he denied him in a few hours. Peter assures Jesus, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." So denying Jesus is the thing that Peter could never do. But he did. Think about it. And I think about our lives, and I think about this generation. I think about every one of us here. I wonder if we have a similar list. Things that we could never do, but we did. And that's what this sermon is about today. What do you do whenever you do that thing you thought you never do, but you did? Is there still hope? Just three main points today. One, false hope is destroyed. Because Peter had great confidence that he would never deny Jesus when you read the scriptures. As the story unfolds, we see Peter's hope was really a false hope. And if we look closely, we can see how Peter failed. And you're listening, God, I put somewhere along the way, Peter became less dependent on Christ and maybe more secure in his faith. There is a difference. Have you ever been in your faith and thinking, "I got this, God. I can do without you. I don't need you." But the Apostle Peter believed that denying Jesus was a possibility, but probably only for other people. "Even if all these people fall away, I won't," Peter declared. He was strong. It isn't hard to imagine that Peter maybe began listening to Jesus' messages and warnings for other people. But then he fell. Peter's confidence in his faith was misplaced. And even today, believers can be tempted to follow the same pattern as the Apostle Peter does. We have a list of things that we would never do. So we start reading warnings like Proverbs chapter 7. And, you know, I ask you to read Proverbs chapter 7 this week. It's a great chapter. And you'll start reading that and you're thinking, "Well, that's really for the other guy, not for me." But before we know it, we've done the thing that we thought we would never do. And the question for us now is, what happens when we fall in that way? Is there still hope for us? Point number two, true hope is given. Consider the differences and similarities between the sin of Peter and the sin of Judas. And you're listening, God, I put a little clip of both men there, Judas and Peter. Because they both had forsaken the Lord. One betrayed him because of the fear of man, and the other because of his love for money. They both responded in sorrow and weeping. Yet in this sorrow, we find a difference between these two men, Judas and Peter. Judas' sorrow led him back to his own self-sufficiency. He tried undoing what he had done. He tried self-atoning, and when he found that he couldn't do it, he resorted to self-harm. And it wasn't suicide to damn Judas. It was his self-righteous refusal to come broken to Christ. Peter came broken to Christ. You see a picture of this in John 21, chapter 21. As soon as he realizes that it's the Lord, he throws himself into the water, leaving all the other disciples to tend to fish. And this makes for a great story. Let's look at it. It's the last chapter in chapter 21. Man, I get to come here today and read from the scriptures you do. Read from the Word of God for you. It says in 21 verse 1, it says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two others of the disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we'll go with you. And they went out and they got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And then verse 4 says, just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And so they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quality of the fish, the quantity of the fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and he was stripped, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself in the sea. And the other disciples came about in a boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, from about 100 yards off. And then in verse 9 it says, when they got on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of fish, 153 of them, the Bible says. And although they were so many, the net was not even torn. So Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and he gave it to them. And so with the fish, and this was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to disciples after he raised him from the dead. And notice how Peter was probably, might have been naked then or close to it. But he put on his clothes and he jumped in the water and he doesn't care because he sees the Lord and he's desperate. And maybe I'm supposed to ask you today, are you desperate today to know him more, to understand him more? Are you desperate to dig into the Word and understand Christ? And when you think about it, the Scripture is really silent about why or how Peter came back to be with the other disciples. But Peter knew that when the Lord was present, there was still hope for forgiveness and for restoration. Anybody need that today? Anybody need forgiveness? Anybody need restoration? Because Peter understood that where Jesus is found, there's still hope. That's what this series is all about. We must follow the path of Peter, trusting in the righteousness of Christ alone. We must avoid the destructive, self-righteous path that Judas went down. Point number 3, true hope restores. It's one thing to be forgiven, but it's another thing to be restored. Because maybe you've blown it like Peter. Maybe you're sitting here today and the enemy's bringing in your mind things that you've done, maybe even this week, maybe even this morning, maybe last week. So maybe you've blown it like Peter, but you're excited about the grace because you're here in God's house and you're happy that you've been forgiven and that you have hope in Christ, but you're wondering if you can still be used by God. Can you still do missions? Can you still share the gospel with someone? And that seems to be Peter's question. The failure he did was public. They all saw it. His boldness was before all the disciples. Therefore, Peter needs to also be publicly restored by Jesus. And this happens in 21 of John, verses 15 through 19. And we see that this hope is restored. Because in verse 15 of 21, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, looked at him. Peter might have been wondering, am I ever going to be restored back to you? I've done this, I did this, I denied you three times. And he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then he said, tend my sheep. And I say, do you love me more than these? Maybe he's asking somebody in here, do you love me more than this? More than money, more than sports, more than whatever, more than power? And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And in parentheses in verse 19, it says, this he said to show by what death he was going to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. And I think the key to the point in this text is that Jesus charges Peter to feed his lambs. And it's the same thing that was said in Luke 22. He knew that Peter would fall. He also knew that Peter would repent, and Jesus told him that when he does return, strengthen his brothers. And he is given the same charge when Jesus says, feed my lambs in those verses. It's no accident that the book of 1 Peter was filled with exhortation of leaders of the early church. Peter wrote things like, feed the sheep among you, shepherd the flock of God among you. And Peter got told by Jesus to do those things. And as he wrote to other imperfect pastors, Peter was likely reminded God uses very broken men and women to accomplish His glorious purposes. Let's read that together. God uses very broken men and women to accomplish His glorious purposes. When you fall, when you mess up, when you do that thing that you thought you'd never do, I came here today to tell you to get up. I came here today to tell you to repent. I came here today to tell you to turn to Jesus because you'll find healing. No matter what has happened in your life, no matter how you have fallen short, Tim Keller, great pastor, wrote this. The gospel of justifying faith means that while Christians are in themselves still sinful and sinning, yet in Christ, in God's sight, they are accepted and righteous. Might be hard for you to grasp that. And you're listening, God, I put, so we can say that we are more wicked than we ever dared believe, but more loved and accepted in Christ than we ever dared hope. And that happens all at the very same time. And when you get this, when you understand this, it creates a radical new dynamic for personal growth, because it means that the more you see your own flaws and sins, the more precious, the more electrifying and amazing God's grace appears to you. That's why we come here and sing every week. That's why Amber's up here leading you, just worshiping God. Because she wants us to go to that throne of grace that when we receive, because we come to Him in our time of need. And we can do that any hour of the day, at any time. Because we need Christ to make it. And you're listening, God, I put, but on the other hand, the more aware you are of God's grace and acceptance in Christ, the more able you are to drop your denials and self-defenses and admit the true dimensions and character of your sin. It's powerful. Yes, true disciples fall. We all fall. And sometimes we fall hard. But true disciples get back up. And when they get back up, they just don't dust themselves off and say to themselves, "Ooh, thank you, Lord, for cleansing me." They look back and they strengthen their brothers. They seek the Lord's full restoration. And that's why we have community groups here to strengthen each other. That's why we have Bible studies here to strengthen each other, to encourage each other, to be there for each other. We want nothing else but you to get plugged into God. We want nothing else but you to understand that seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We want nothing else but you to understand that His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He wants us to understand Jesus came as a man and led a sinless life. And when the devil was tempting him, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So if you want to get closer to God, if you want to understand Him more, if you want to be in His good and pleasing and perfect will, get into this. Eat it. Soak in it. That's what God told Ezekiel. Eat the scriptures. You want nothing more but to understand that you strive every day to fellowship with other believers and take the things God has given to you and share them with others. The ladies are gathering here on Tuesday morning and Wednesday night for what? To fellowship with one another, to grow closer, to be strengthened, to be ready for the time when Satan is going to test us, when Satan is going to throw us things this way. I'm kind of offline now, but 1 Peter, if you have your Bible with you, 1 Peter chapter 1. If you look at 1 Peter, and here I am talking about Peter, and here he's writing to people in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, not on the screen. So either look it up on your phone or get your Bible out and look on. Praise God. I'm on page 1014 in my Bible. Praise God. And verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And if you look in your Bible, there's probably an explanation point there. And as Christians, we get to open up this word and we get to realize, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Could you imagine a stadium full of saying that? "According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living" what? Hope. I didn't have that verse down here. But it's a living hope. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, which we celebrated last week on Easter." But guess what? We should celebrate it every Sunday of the year. "To an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." And you could put your name right there in the Bible. "Kept in heaven for you. Who by God's power being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice." Rejoice. We want nothing else but to rejoice. And then all of a sudden, Peter, through everything he learned from Jesus, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us a reason why bad things happen to us. Why trials happen to us. Why Satan goes to God and says, "I want to sift them like wheat." Because he says in verse 5, maybe it's verse 6, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary." Don't you love that? Comma, if necessary, comma. "For a little while, Nick, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith." And then they had this dash, "which is more precious than gold that perishes though tested by fire." And then another dash, "may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor when at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Isn't that beautiful? That's why we go through tough times. That's why we go through trials. That's why things happen. We just don't understand why they happen. because they're necessary so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, perishes through it, tested by fire, may result in the praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, here we are in 2017 in verse 8. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with the joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. I'm living that life right now. That it's a joy inexpressible and full of glory. That you're just soaking in the Word of God, and sometimes you don't even know what to say because it's inexpressible. And you're just filled with the things of God. And that's the Holy Spirit moving inside of you, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. And it's a beautiful way to live. If the band wants to come forward, we're going to have time to do some praying here today. Maybe somebody wants to be strengthened today. Maybe someone has a desire to draw closer to God, but they really have been fading away or allowing other things to become more important to them than the things of God. And we're here to tell you today that Christ is the only way you have hope. There is a song way back, I guess it was maybe 12 years ago, I don't know, Stacy Arrico. She did this song called Strong Enough. And it really fits this sermon. And in part it goes like this. Will my weaknesses for an hour make me suffer for a lifetime? The enemy would want nothing else but that. Is there any way to be made whole again? If I'm healed, if I'm renewed and find forgiveness, find the strength I've never had, will my scars forever ruin all of God's plan? And the answer is no. There's nothing that you've done that God is not ready to forgive you for, to restore you for. Just get back up. Repent and find your healing in Christ. And you're listening, God, I guess it was the chorus of the song, I don't know. He says, is he not strong enough? Is he not pure enough to break me, to pour me out and start again? Is he not brave enough to take one chance on me? Please, can I have one more chance to start again? And there might be somebody here today that needs another chance, that has been stuck maybe in the things of this world, or allow the things of this world to become more important than the things of God. And we have this Word. And it's all about the Word. It's not about the church. It's about the Word. And we gather together as a church to feast on the Word, to learn the Word, to gather around the Word, to read the Word, to meditate on the Word, and be ready to go outside these walls, because God wants to use you. All your mistakes, all the things that you've ever done is in the past. Cut that rear view mirror out and start living for Him. Come forward, elders. Father, I just want to give you the glory today. Father, I pray that just as I worked on this message and thinking about strengthen the brothers, strengthen the sisters. We're sitting here broken. We're sitting here of people who have made mistakes in their life. But Father, you want to use us. You want us to grow in you. You want us to strengthen each other, Father. Father, I pray for all the community group leaders, because they have a responsibility to strengthen the people that walk into their groups. Father, I lift up Kelly Kitchen to you, Father. As she comes here faithfully every Tuesday just to strengthen the sisters, I lift up Elizabeth to you as she does the same thing on Wednesday. I lift up Ernie as he strengthened us on Wednesday night for the guys. I lift up Eric and Steve and Kevin, who are strengthening the brothers on Saturday morning. Father, we want to do that. We want to strengthen each other so we can be ready to partake in your good and pleasing and perfect will. You have a plan for us. You have a purpose for us. And Satan is whispering in our ears all the time, but you did this, Nick. You said that. He got upset about something stupid. So, Father, as we take this offering today, Father, I pray that you bless us, Lord. I pray as we have time to open up these altars, Father, that someone here today wants more of you. Someone here today has realized that, man, I need Christ more than I have him now. I want to know his word. I want his word to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So, Father, as we take this offering and as we worship you and as we offer these altars up to you, Father, maybe there's someone here that wants to say, I want another chance, Father. I know you can forgive me. I know you have forgiven me, but I want to be restored. I want to come clean. Your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Father. And I thank you for this time that we have every week, Father, that we can dedicate to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.